Shul Chashav Rabbanim, Heilige Bachrim. The Olam has heard about the Heilige Netziv, the great Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin, and I think most people are familiar with the famous story. Just tells it very quickly. Some Ha'aris. The Netziv was known that when he first published his Sefer, I think it was the Hamek Shaila, so he made a special Sudas Mitzvah, Sudas Haidah. And over there he spoke about how his parents, when he was much younger, were, you know, talking to each other one night, and they were saying how they don't see much coming out of him, and they're going to send him to, like, shoemaker school. And he overheard the conversation, and he came running down, he came to his parents and said, please, give me one more chance. And he became the great Netziv. He became the Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin, and he put out tremendous svarim. So he said, Achamev Esrim, I would get up to Shemayim, and they would, like, show me all these svarim that I was supposed to produce, and they'd be like, where are these svarim? And I wouldn't have what to answer them, but Baruch Hashem, I chose a different direction in my life. So people quote the story. Now today, I mean, the Mashkiachs mentioned before also that today it's much easier to print the Sefer. Back in the day, like, you had to be a big gadol to print the Sefer, and it had to be, like, worthy of print. Today, most people have laptops or some other sort of device, which the Rashi will be talking to all the Avreichim about in a few days. And you could print all your notes up, and it doesn't take much to get a sponsor, make a nice cover, and print the Sefer. So I know the Mashkiachs mentioned the Shmuzim before. Just because it says in the Sefer doesn't mean it's Emes anymore. Amal was the great Gedolim. We don't even know some of the Gedolim from hundreds of years ago, because the only Gedolim we're familiar with are the ones that published Svarim. But people like to say that today some people would come up and they'd have all these Svarim and they ask you, where's your shoes? Where's all the shoes you were supposed to make? And there might be something to that. But Lamaisa, making shoes is also a very chash of a thing. There's a famous story about Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. He was the great Rav in Kovna, and he wanted to publish his first Sefer. He came to Warsaw, I think. Sorry. He came to Warsaw to publish his Sefer, and he was still short on funds. So they wanted to make a collection, and one of the big gvirim came over to him and said, I want to sponsor the whole Sefer. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan looked at him and said, no, I don't want your money. It was pshat. He's willing to take the whole Sefer. He said, when I was a young bacher, I was learning, and I came to you. I had, my shoes were totally ripped, and I needed new shoes, and I came to you and asked you for money. And you were like, what are you sitting and learning for? Go get a job. Go get some money, and you can have shoes. He's like, if you would have given me money for my shoes, I would have had much better chidush etayra in the Sefer. You're not deserving of having a chelik in my Sefer. And he found some other people. So being a shoemaker is also sometimes good. You can help a tzaddik print the Sefer and have better chidushim. On that note, what I really wanted to talk about tonight is, we're holding by the parshias of Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, and we know that the Torah came through Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we want to try and achieve greatness, when we're striving for greatness, so we look up to Moshe Rabbeinu as someone. The Rambam says that everyone could try and be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and so therefore I think we have to try and understand what Moshe's godless was. We know the Torah describes Moshe as a anav mikol adam. That seems to be the greatest shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was an eved Hashem, he was anav mikol adam. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be an anav? Does an anav mean that a person doesn't really, you know, he walks around and he doesn't really, you know, hold of himself? So there's a story they say about Reb Shach. Reb Shach had many talmidim. One of his talmidim came. He had twins, and he asked Reb Shach, "I'd like you to come and be the sandik for we're making two brisim. I would like the Rosh Hashiva to be the sandik of one of the brisim." So Reb Shach says, "Who's going to be the sandik on the other baby?" So, my tata never had a, he wasn't zeicher to be a sandik before, so I want my father to be a sandik on one, and the Rashi will be the sandik on the other one. Shach says, don't get me involved, I don't want to be the sandik at this person. That's what I mean. The Rosh Yeshiva was always a Santik on all the Talmidim's person. So Rav Shach turns to him and he says, I don't want that when these children grow up, so the one son's going to turn to the other one and say, you know, you just had Zaidi as a Santik and I had Rav Shach. So it seems like Rav Shach knew who he was, Shtickel. You could look at the other way, Shtickel. We have a Gabayim in Yeshiva. The Gabayim try very hard to get people to daven for the Amid. So sometimes you have a sore throat, you have a legitimate taina. Sometimes it's like, I'm not holding, like, you know, give Shirley a break, come on, you know? And what's Psha? Some people really do have decent voices, and they could, if they worked at it, you know, be a pretty good, and we could have, you know, we do have, Baruch Hashem, some wonderful Bali Tefillah. But we should, you know, we should all step up. So some people say, you know, I don't want to be in the spotlight. It's not for me. Is that right? There's a famous medrash brought down in Yalkut Shimoni. I don't know if the Olam has heard of a man named Novis. Novis lived in the times of Achav. Achav was a infamous king. He was very, very powerful, but he brought terrible Avodah Zarah to Yisrael. Achav had a wife who was even worse. She put her husband to shame in her evil. So Isabel, which I don't know why you get a name like that, but Isabel kind of sounds like Zevel. She Lamaisa, one time she sees her husband. He comes home and he came to the palace and he looked very down. So she says, what's wrong? He says, well, we have a neighbor named Novos. Novos was someone who actually was Shermit Torah Mitzvahs. And he had a beautiful vineyard that was part of his inheritance. And Achav asked him, I want to buy the vineyard off you. He knew that Achav, who had put Avodah Zarah in every single mountaintop in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, was not going to use his vineyard for the most proper things. So he said no. He didn't want to sell it. So Achav was very disappointed. So Isabel says, I'll take care of it. And we're talking about in times that we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had the Sanhedrin. So she got a bunch of cronies. They came to Beis Din. They testified that he had done something that deserved to be put to death for. And he was put to death. Now, everyone, I think it's in this week's parasha, but the Rambam talks about how the Shekhinah comes down amongst the Dayanim. And when there's a Psak Misa, it's a real Psak. So Chazal comment on how could it be that this Novos was put to death. He was put to death by Beis Din for something that he didn't do at all. The Yalkut Shimoni says that Novos had a beautiful voice. And Klal Yisrael would come up to Yerushalayim, they would come up to the Beis HaMikdash, and part of being Noila Regal, they would look forward to hearing Novos daven for them, Novos singing for them. And one Yontif, he just wasn't in the mood, he didn't want to push himself, and he didn't go. So when they plotted against him, he had no schusim in Shemaim. Because in Shemaim, they said, someone who's not using his kaiches, he wasn't able to stand up, he didn't have any schusim to protect him. So we see that someone's given talents, God-given talents, and you don't use them, so it could be a big tfiyah in Shemaim. So the chayr, next time Shirley comes over to you, you should say yes and go up right away. But either way, it seems that sometimes people do want to, you know, hide from the spotlight. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's bad for my gaiva. They say about Rabbi Aaron Leib when he came back. Rabbi Kala spoke about it, right? That they used to like graffiti his walls with all nasty things. And Rabbi Aaron said it's good for me because he gets so much covered in America. He's worried it's going to get to his head. But he still went to America and he still went around the world because he understood that as much as there is this concept of covered which he's afraid of, but you got to do what you got to do. So what is true humility? What is anava? On top of that, there's a Gemara in the Dharm. The Gemara says, Ein Hashchina Sharui Ela Al Gibor Osher Chacham Va'anav. A person who's a Navi, a person who's Zoicha to have the Shechina rest on him, gets Ruach HaKodesh, he gets Ruach Nevuah. So the Gemara says he has to be a Gibor, an Osher, a Chacham, and an Anav. Now, Gibor, you know, you got to be strong, you got to be an usher, you got to be rich, Chacham, fine, he's got to be a Talmud Chacham. But what does strong got to be? Why does he have to be strong? Why does he have to be rich? And only, and then he has to be an Anav. On top of that, the Olam is learning Mesilas Yesharim. It's Muslim said officially. So Mesilas Yesharim bases the order of godless, of a person who could get mamish up to a very high levels of Ruach HaKodesh, based on the steps that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair gave us. And the Sefer goes in this order, which starts off with, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it starts off with Zrizus, Zahirus, Nikias, and then I'm not sure exact order, but there's Precious, and there's Chasidus, and like all the way at the top, there's like Anava. There's a couple more after that, but Anava is like pretty high up there. In Nikias, the Mesilas Yesharim writes, like, this is a very, very high level. This is someone who's like not doing any Averis anymore, and he's just like trying to perfect all his mitzvahs. So we're talking about very high levels already by the third chapter, and then like Anava is like the eighth chapter. What's going on over here? Most of us feel like we could work on our Anava. Most of us feel, you know, we get covered, or we want covered, and we want to try and work on ourselves, not to let it get to our heads. But here he's saying that, no, you got to work step, 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 and then you get to Anava. What does that mean? Why isn't Anava one of the earliest steps? This is something that we all have some sheiches to. Okay, so they say a story with the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes one time had a guy, shoemaker comes to him and he says, Rebbe, I need help. I really want to work on, you know, being more of an Anav. I'm afraid my guide is getting to me, so please, could the Rebbe help me? So he says, he looked at him, he says, I hear. Well, sit down at the table. The Rebbe had a few more people waiting in line. So he tells the guy by calling the next guy. Next guy come in, he's making a chasana, and he's got three daughters that he needs dowries for. He says, Rebbe, please, I need help. So Sfas Emes turns to this shoemaker guy sitting next to him. He's like, Nu, how can we help him?
Me?
I was supposed to help him. I'm a shoemaker. So I don't have any like big money. So I'm trying to save for my own daughters. Okay. So Sfas Emes had a special vault like all Rebbes have. And he pulls out some money and they make some plans. And right. Baruch Hashem. Next guy comes in. He's a big lamdan. And he has a few kashas on the sugya. So he asks the kashas. And the Sfas Emes turns to Mr. Shoemaker over here. He says, Nu, how did you learn up the sugya? Maybe I learned this Gemara once, but it was a long time ago. I'm pushing, not holding. Okay? So Asemes sits down with the Gemara, goes through the Pshat, explains to him, he sends the Talmud Chacham on his way. Third guy comes in, and this guy's he's got a lot of business investments, and he's asking the Rebbe for brachas and advice in his investments. And this Asemes turns to Mr. Shoemaker, Nu, what do you say? I make shoes. I'm supposed to know about all these financial things and properties and investments. The Sfas Emes gives him his brachas and he tells him what he thinks he should do. And Sfas Emes is like, I don't understand. You have no money. You don't know how to learn. And you have no business advice. What are you a balgaiv about? What do you feel you have to work on over here? And the Ruach Chaim, Ruach Chaim explains along these lines. Rav Chaim Volozhin says that in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kivlu mehilo shamai hu hayoyimim lamadta toira harbe al tachzik toiva laatzmecha ki lekach notzarta. Zokt Rav Chaim loisech zigze ki loy kein hu lefi matrigoscha yedaktik imcha al ashigiyos sakalos v'israshlus al limud. The higher a person is, and the greater the person has, so the more they're going to be makbid on you, on your mistakes, and on your hisrashlis alimud, on the fact that you chill sometimes during your limud. You have to produce more. Rav Chaim Volozhin is telling us a huge yesod, that the more a person has, the more Shemayim expects of a person. Not every single person was granted the greatest gifts, but every single person has something. And in that level, that person is expected to perform. And not just perform, but to perform to the highest of his abilities. The great Gedolim. There's many Gedolim, you could ask them, do you know you're the Gadol Adar? they won't necessarily deny it, like we said with Rav Shach. But every single one of them, if you ask them, so what, it gets to your head? No, because every single one of them understood that Shemayim holds me more responsible for what I'm supposed to be doing. And maybe I'm not hitting that. They say about Reb Zundel Kreiser, who mamish produced svarim on everything, and yet he didn't eat meat. Reb Gamliel said this a few years ago at a siyum. He said, how can you not eat? Why didn't you eat meat during the week? He says, it says Am Aretz shouldn't eat meat during the week. He says, you're an Am Aretz, you have svarim, and it's not like you're hiding it, like you've published svarim on every single thing. He says, yeah, but compared to Rabbi Kiva Eger. So what was Pshat? We don't compare ourselves to Rabbi Kiva Eger, but he understood that Shemayim gave me huge talents. Shemayim expects a lot more of me than other people. And therefore, maybe I'm not hitting it. Maybe I'm not doing it. So every single person has to wake up in the morning and think, I have to be the best I could be. And maybe I haven't done that yet, and I have to continue to push myself. There's a famous Gemara in Psachim. Talks about Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He had a son, Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi had a near-death experience. So he died, and then he came back, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked him, what did you see over there? And he said famous words, Olam hafuch reisi. I saw an upside-down world, a topsy-turvy world. So everyone thinks, like, okay, a great gadol has a near-death experience, and he sees upside-down world. What does that mean? So, like, in this world, everyone's, like, you know, running after all the rich people because they think they're going to get his money or something, right? And then, I think Rabbi Yalofsky says this, right? And like, if you knew you weren't going to get a penny out of him, you wouldn't give him so much covet, right? Okay, so, Lamaisa, we all feel like, you know, we want to try and get a sheiches to all these, well-to-do people. And then you have the great gedolim. Okay, the big gedolim everyone's getting online for. Reb Shach used to say, if I want a Mercedes, I could get whatever I want. If I want. But not everyone's zeicha to that. There's the people you could still get to when you want to knock on their door. And they're holding pretty big. But in the next world, they're going to be on high. While all these people that the whole world's running after is going to be down at the bottom. So that would seem like a push-up shot. But we all know that we're talking about great gedolim over here. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yossi, we're not talking to him. He came up there and he said to me, it would seem to be an upside-down world. So what does that mean? Zokar Bistral Salanter, that it's true. There were people that might have been Balabatim over here, people that were Kadeh Itim Latoira, and they were on top. And there might have been some very holy people that we look up to, we think they're gedolim, and yet they weren't so high. Why? Because that great Rosh Yeshiva was expected to learn 14 hours a day, and he only managed 13 and a half. While this Balabas, so this guy who was conveyed to the Torah, when they sent him down, they were only expecting an hour and a half. And he did an hour and 45 minutes. So he's in a higher place, because he's did his max. He pushed himself as much as he could, while this Rosh Yeshiva wasn't able to do that. He didn't do that. So Mamela, it was Mamash HaHafich, Olam Hafach Reisi, even to great people. They say about Reb Moshe Zatzal, towards the end of his life, so he obviously wasn't so well the last few years, and at one point they wanted to put a pacemaker in him. And he was very hesitant, and he wanted to find out exactly all the details and everything. And finally, after like Imamish felt he had the whole sugya klor of a pacemaker, he allowed them to put it in. And the family asked him, like, you know, this is a doctor you trust your whole life, and he's telling you to get a pacemaker. Why were you so hesitant? So Rav Moshe said, we daven for Mashiach every single day. We hope Mashiach's mamish going to come. When Mashiach comes, we're going to have a Sanhedrin. Maybe they're going to ask me to be on the Sanhedrin. So I didn't want to do something that might make me consider a Baal Mum that I'm not going to be able to serve in the Sanhedrin. So, okay, we think, wow. Moshe chapt is godless. He chapt he's going to be on. He lived with Mashiach. He understood there's going to be a Sanhedrin. And he chapt he's going to be on the Sanhedrin. So he didn't want to do something that's going to mess him up. But I think there's something a little bit deeper over here, which is that Reb Moshe, when every single thing happened in his life, he thought about where he's trying to get to. And he said, is this going to help me get there? Or is this going to prevent me from getting there? Every single life decision was made with this gong, with this like direction. And that's what we have to work on. We have to work on, number one, realizing. Number one, realizing that Hashem gave us tremendous talents. Every single one of us has something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted us with, and he expects us to use it to the full potential. And number two, to realize, if you have these things, that every single one of the decisions that you make in your life has to be based on, is this going to help or is this going to be against me? I thought on a deeper level that if a person really zones into this, so then you have a tremendous kli at your disposal. Because we know that the Yetzer Hara always tries to attack us. Where does he try to attack us the most? In the things that we're supposed to be getting a tikkun. So if Hashem gave you this talent, Hashem gave you this good, and we all have to sit and really work on what Hashem gave us. If Hashem gave you this, so then there's obviously going to be nisyonos in this prat, in this talent that you have. So if you chop that, you're already prepared. You know how to fight the Yetzer Hara because you know where he's coming to fight you on. You know, some people are murderers and they have a big nisayah not to kill people when they get upset at them. Most of us, Baruch Hashem, in this room, maybe Rabbi Streicher, but everyone else. Everyone else. I know every single day. We should always stand up for you. But for most people, this is not the Yetzer Hara we're holding at. But we have other things. We have other things. Every single person knows about their Yetzer Hara. Baruch Hashem, Kenan Har. Now, if we zone in and we chop where our talents lie and our godless lies, we're also going to chop where our nisyanis lie. And the more a person's ready, the more a person could take on his yetzahara. So this is really where humility comes in. A person's an onov when he chops his godless. And I think that's shot in the Masilas Hasharim. As we said from the Sfas Emes, you're not an onov if you are nothing. Shkoyich. You're nothing. You're an ani. You're not an onov. You only become an onov when you chop your godless and you act great, and then you still don't hold of yourself because you still hold I could be doing more. And that's true godless, and that's true onov, anivus. And that's why Moshe could be an onov mikoladam, because he was the greatest person ever. And still, with being the greatest person ever, he still held I could do more. So you're the greatest onov, because no one ever reached that level and was still an onov. Just in closing, I don't know if it's Shaychus, but it is a special night for us tonight. And Tzvi Meyer always talks about it's like Shoivavim, and it's almost the end of Shoivavim, but we're still chopping a rain in Shoivavim. And we're going to miss him this year, but the Olam should try and listen to recordings, because there's still people in the world that don't know about this stuff. And some reminiscing. I was zeichet to go to the yeshiva in Yeshiva Taras Chaim in Denver, Colorado, and we were there during the Broncos are known as the whole city loves them. A guy once they had a big helmet with the logo on their training facility. A guy stole the helmet from the training facility. You know, they're mamish in love with their team. And we were there at the time that there was a guy Elway, and he was considered one of the he made it to the hole or not, or maybe soon, whatever. But Kitzer, he was someone of note, but he had never won yet. He had gone three times, he had never got there. And we were there, and they got there for the fourth time, and they were big underdogs against Green Bay. So there was excitement in the air, but there was already the Olam was, you know, getting ready for the letdown. And it might be his last year. There was a lot of emotion involved over here. And it was Bein HaSedarim in Denver because it's 2 hours behind. So it works out most of the game. So the Kitzer, what happened was that there was the quarterback. He was really good. And that year, they had an amazing running back. They won the MVP together. And this running back was mamish every single game. He was going. He would just pass it down to him, and he would go. And he got crazy concussed right before second half. It looked really bad, they said. I don't know these things, but it looked really bad. And the game stopped for a little bit, and then he came back on. came back on, heavily guarded, and the quarterback threw it to some other guy, ended up in the touchdown, and they took the lead, and they won from then on. It was a bacher who went to watch, and there was like a 70-year-old crying on his shoulders. He was like, he was like waiting. And it was a simcha, definitely, you know, people were excited. But they had a great coach at the time, and they interviewed the coach. It seems this running back, he was out. He was mamish out. He couldn't see. He was blinded from the concussion. And they still put him back on. Why? Because they made a cheshbon. If he's back on, the other team doesn't know that he's blind right now. But he's our sick quarterback. He's our running back. And we're going to pass it to him. And they're all going to go for him. And we're going to get the touchdown. And that's exactly what happened. I learned from that a tremendous yesod. You don't always have to be the guy doing stuff to make things happen. Right? You could be someone, you're on the side there, you're making noise, and the other guy's going. You could have a base medrash that I'm not steiging. Right now I'm not holding, I'm not doing so well, I want to go back to America, I don't know what else you want, and Lamaisa, you're making some noise. The guy behind you, the guy in front of you, doesn't realize that you're just reading Tehillim out loud. It sounds like the base medrash is pumping. And he's going to be the next God of Adar because he's stacked in the space medrash because you made noise. So when you get up there after 120, you get all the schar for this God of Adar. You're like, what did I do? You stacked in the base medrash. You made noise and you helped this kid. So it's not always because what are you doing? But every single one of us, if we're doing what we have the ability to do, you could take everyone to a much higher place. And you never know what you're really accomplishing. So tonight, we're Zaycha. We're one of the places. We're learning. And maybe you don't feel it all, or maybe you do feel it, but whatever you feel, realize that the Shekhinah is coming here. The Shekhinah is coming with all the malachim to watch what's going on over here. And we say, Ano Amelim, V'Hem Amelim. They're working very hard. People are working very hard on their parties and getting stuff, and they're going to be very into it. And amidst Hashem, we should be zeichet to also be very into it. And we're going to be the Mekabli Yischar. And we're going to be zeichet to tremendous Yad to the Shemaya. We should always give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nachas. Shkoyach.
Thank you. Beautiful story.